Since you said you love your Bible, we're going to read this morning. Okay? I'm going to read so much that if you did not read your Bible yesterday, we'll take care of it this morning. that's how long we're going to read this morning. Amen. Amen. Verse 1. Finally, my brothers, at the end of it all, in conclusion, rejoice in the Lord. Hello? To write the same things to you indeed is not grievous to me, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. Beware of the concision party. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, that's Paul speaking. If any other things that he has reason to trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As regards the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Regarding the righteousness in the law, blameless. Well, he was giving us his CV right there. Have you ever met people that for the first time they pull out their CV? They're trying to manage impressions. Like, I'm deeper than you see. So Paul was giving us his CV. Like, if there's anyone who would trust in the flesh, I would trust in the flesh. Because look at my resume. But whatever things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. But no, rather, I also count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them to be dung, so that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I am pressing on, if I may lay hold of that for which also was taken hold of by Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before, I press and I press and I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be of this mind. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Yet as to what we have already attained, let us walk in the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for the preaching of the word. I pray for revelation knowledge. I pray for understanding. I pray that you'd lower this bread to a place where all of us can partake, where all of us can be nourished this morning. Father, it's one word that will be preached, but there are a number of us here today. I pray that through your supernatural power, each one would hear what you have prepared for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, that was a mouthful, and yet very necessary for where we are going for the coming weeks. Obviously, I can't preach all 15 verses in one meeting, but I'm just trying to give you a context for what I'm about to teach you today and for what we will go through in the coming weeks. We need to move away from that microwave type of life where we just scratch on the surface for a quick revelation. We've got to be disciplined enough to go deep into the word so that the word can get deep into us. So when the word gets deep in you, your life becomes deep. Hallelujah. Your life becomes something else. Now, for the coming weeks, we're going to unpack a new series, which I'm going to introduce this morning. The title of our series is The Breakthrough Mindset. Hallelujah. The Breakthrough Mindset. And I want to encourage you, please don't miss any of these teachings. If you miss them on a Sunday, catch up on our website so that you can hear what God is saying. So last week we learned that God is ushering us into a season of enlargement, a season of expansion, a season of growing, a season of the overflow. Glory be to God. Where you're going to break out to the right, to the left, where there won't be enough to contain in your heart and in your house. Hallelujah. Now, do you know that enlargement is a mindset? And you need to adopt that mindset in order to walk in enlargement. It is a mindset to grow. They talk of a growth mindset. They speak of a fixed mindset. So when we speak about enlargement, we are saying you need to have the correct thought patterns that will enable you to tap into what God has in store for you. Now, you can have everything that you need for enlargement, but if your mindset is not wired for enlargement, it will be impossible to experience enlargement at any level in your life. You can have everything. You can have people around you. You can have the education. You can have the experience. You can have the material. But if your mindset has not graduated to the level of enlargement, your mind will always pull you back. You will always say, we've never done it this way. You'll always say, Mama used to cook this way. And that's how we're going to continue cooking. Your mindset will determine the extent to which you will experience this breaking forth. Hallelujah. Now let me start with a portion of the verses that we read. Philippians 3 verse 15. Now, therefore, now I went to another version that brings this whole thing to light, an NLT. It says there, therefore, let all of us who are mature, and I'm looking at mature people, when you look at the New King James Version, it talks about those who are perfect, the perfected ones. He's simply talking about those of you who are growing in their knowledge of Jesus. Those of you who are looking where they are today and they're saying, I'm not where I was. I might not be where I want, but I'm on a journey of growth. So here Paul says, therefore, those of you who are mature got to think this way. There is a way of thinking that Paul was proposing to the church at Philippi. And that is why we read verse 1 all the way to 15. To say, there are thought patterns in these scriptures that are key to your breakthrough. That are important to where you're going. And if you think differently, in other words, if your mindset is not so much inclined to what I have just told you in the preceding verses, God will reveal this to you. You see, there are times where you can teach as much as you want. As long as somebody does not have a revelation from the Spirit of Jesus, they might never get it. I can shout and scream until my hair gets gray, all of it. As long as the Holy Ghost hasn't revealed certain things to you and me, we will not be able to walk in them. That is why we need the Spirit of revelation. That is why in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, Paul says, since I've heard about your faith, I haven't stopped praying for you that you might receive the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, of understanding, and that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. In other words, there is a blinding that the devil does to God's people. You can sit under an anointed teaching, but as long as the veil on your eyes are still there, the word will not make sense. In, out. The spirit of revelation is your portion in Jesus' name. So he says here, if what I'm telling you doesn't make sense, I'm not going to force it on you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal this to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained so far. What have you learned in your 15 years in the Lord? In your 2 years, in your 1 year, in your 6 months, what have you learned? Paul says a key for you is to keep that which you have learned and to live by it. Now, Paul was onto something here as he started concluding his address to the church at Philippi. And he was saying to them, in order for you to experience breakthrough, to experience enlargement, you've got to look at your thinking pattern. You've got to look at your view to life. And this is the same Paul who wrote to the church in Rome, and he said to them, be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. In other words, in the absence of you changing the wiring of your mind, you will remain the same year after year. You can claim it, you can frame it, but if your mindset hasn't claimed it, you will not change. Come on now. It's your year. It's your year. Pastor, I take it. I receive it. But your mind is still last year. Your mind is still feeling like COVID. COVID. Don't even try that. Your mindset. Now, let's talk about breakthroughs. Moments of breakthroughs that we are talking about, a breakthrough mindset, you know, you need to understand that when you experience a breakthrough in your life, something shifts. For instance, give those slides to me. Moments of breakthrough for you are moments where you manage to go beyond your enemy's resistance. There is a devil out there roaring around, suppressing us, resisting us. Breakthrough for you is when you're able to break the resistance of the enemy over your life. It's when you look at things that have not been working and all of a sudden you're able to break through the resistance of the enemy. That's a breakthrough. Breakthrough is when you succeed to remove or to punch through restrictions or obstructions in your life. You've been looking for a job for a long time and all of a sudden, poof, the jobs come. They start asking you, say, come work for us. Come work for us. Those are breakthroughs. A breakthrough is when you experience a sudden increase in knowledge, an understanding of what you need to do in a particular season. Your breakthrough starts when you know what you ought to do. Many times we are stuck at that place where I actually don't know what to do. And then in that moment, there's an opening in your mind, in your spirit man, and everything starts making sense. Now, for these breakthroughs to happen, they need to be accompanied. Or rather, the atmosphere around which breakthroughs happen is your mindset. It's how you view your world. What is a mindset? You see, I've learned that if you don't define some of these things, we leave this place having different understandings about what the pastor was talking about, right? So what is a mindset? Your mindset is a set of beliefs that shape how you make sense of your world and of yourself. That's a mindset. Look, if you believe that you're a cow, when other people wake up in the morning and they're having cereal, you wake up and you look for grass. Hello? Okay, did that just go over you? Your mindset will determine how you behave. It influences how you think, how you feel, and it will change your behavioral patterns. In other words, it's worldviews. Your worldview is the lenses through which you read your world. Look, if my glasses are tinted blue, everybody looks blue. I'm reading them through my lenses. If I change them to red, all of you look like you are in love. It's red. What am I talking about? Your mindset determines how you look at me. I don't know what has been your mindset ever since you've gone through COVID. You see, your beliefs shape your feelings, and your feelings get reflected in your behavior. And so many times we don't need to speak out our mindset. I just need to see how you behave, and I know that is how she thinks. She doesn't think she's beautiful because of the way she responds when I say to her, "You look awesome today." She grew up being told, "You are not beautiful, you are not beautiful." And therefore, the next guy who comes and tells her, "You look awesome," she feels like, "You're lying to me. I've always been told this." Now, the truth of the matter is that your spirit man was born again, but your mind was not born again. In other words, your thinking patterns were not born again. You are heaven going, but your mind is still in this world. It's still confined to its past experiences. That is why Paul says, if you are to change, if your life is to be transformed, if the form of your life is to change, or a shift of positions, that can only happen when your mind has been renewed. When your mind has shifted and it is being influenced by things of heaven. Am I clear this morning? Now, many believers are heaven-going, but they are worldly in their way of thinking. Their way of thinking is still of the world, and therefore, they are Christians who are carnal in their mindset. Hey, Pastor, what are you talking about? Paul in Romans 8 talks about, he says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. You've got to look at how you think, how you view life, for you to say, has my mind been renewed? Has my mind been renewed? Put this down. A Christian with a worldly mindset may not experience kingdom breakthroughs. Let's walk through the corridors a bit slow. A Christian with a worldly mindset may not experience kingdom breakthrough, because kingdom breakthrough comes when you think like a kingdom citizen. Kingdom mindset says, though he has not asked for forgiveness, I will forgive him. The Bible never says forgive them after they have asked you for forgiveness. The Bible says, if you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Come on now. But the world says, until he says, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to forgive him. We even go to the point of saying, until he pays, until he feels the pain of what he did to me, I will not relent. I want to see him squirm. I want to see him suffering. And therefore, maybe I'll have mercy on him. The world says, this guy hurt you. This guy betrayed you. Therefore, have nothing to do with him. So, love those who love you. Hate those who hate you. The Bible addresses that and says, but what's the difference then between you and the Pharisees? That is when Jesus says, unless your righteousness is better than that of the Pharisees, you will not experience the kingdom. So I'm asking this morning, your mindset, your view to life, is it carnal or it is spiritual? Look, it's not easy. That is why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll send you the helper. He will help you. I know how difficult it is to forgive. But when we surrender this thing to the Holy Spirit, something changes in our hearts. There is a work of the Holy Spirit that we cannot explain. I will be honest with you, there are things that happened to me. I was hurt by people and probably took me a year to release them, to forgive. So maybe you and I are in the same WhatsApp group. So I'm not standing here saying these things and thinking it's all easy. No. We need the help of the Holy Spirit as we go through this process. Now, a breakthrough mindset is a biblical way of thinking that enables you to attain all that God has destined for you. A breakthrough mindset, it is a process, a way of thinking that gives you access to the resources that are found in God. I need to have a mindset that enables me to tap into that which God has for me. You see, right from the beginning, God always wanted his people to have a breakthrough mentality, to have a breakthrough mindset. And I want to just coin this in a very unique way this morning. Put this down. The breakthrough mindset focuses on God's ability on behalf of men instead of men's ability on behalf of God. Again, let's walk slowly on this thing here. There are certain things that you write and you're like, where is that coming from? It's coming from the heavens. Breakthrough mentality, it's when you focus on God's ability on your behalf and not your ability on behalf of God. Saints, this is so packed. If we can get it right, to say it's not about what I can do, it's about what he can do, your life will never be the same again. Glory be to God. If your mind can get to that place where you say, like in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. The focus is not your strength. The focus is on his ability. As long as you haven't made that shift from looking at how good you are, how perfect you are, to looking at how great he is, how awesome he is, your life will not move. I want to say this again. The breakthrough mindset focuses on God's ability on your behalf instead of your ability on God's behalf. That is why Jesus had to come. Hallelujah. Nobody could have attained to the righteousness of God and the holiness of God. We tried and we failed. And the whole of the Old Testament was there to show you and I that we don't have it. We will not be able to attain to the holiness of God. That is why God himself had to come and say, I will do it for them. From the beginning, God has always wanted you to be that. That it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about your degrees and qualifications. There are many people who have got so many degrees that goes beyond the thermometer, but nothing is really happening in their lives. It's not about how much you can do by yourself. It's about what he can do with us small people. Glory be to God. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Genesis 12 verse 1. And Jehovah said to Abram, go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. Man, this is so powerful. I don't know. God starts speaking to Abraham in this foreign land, and we don't even know how Abraham got to hear the voice of God. The Bible doesn't really tell us, because they were pagan people. They just were doing their own thing. But God came to him and said, I will do something in you. Leave your father's house into a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those that bless you and curse the one who curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. I don't know if you see that which is highlighted in red. Three times, four times in the space of two scriptures, there's an emphasis of who is in control. The Lord says, I will show you. I will make you. I will bless you. I will bless you. Abraham, it's not about you. Michael, it's not about you. It's about the one who initiated the process. Abraham never called to heaven and said, it's time for a relocation. I want to immigrate. No. Heaven came down to Abraham and said, I want to do something with you. And right now I'm looking at a people where God is coming down and say, I want to do something with you. You might think you're good for nothing, but you're good for everything. Glory be to God. You are good for something. You see, Abraham was going to be great and honorable, and through him, the nations of the world were going to be blessed. But the key was that Abraham was not going to do it, but God was going to do it. Abraham was too old. Sarah was barren. It had nothing to do with Abraham's ability. That is why I say to us, the breakthrough mindset is a mindset that focuses on the ability of God on behalf of incapable man, instead of looking at your ability on behalf of a mighty God. No. You see, whenever a believer adopts the breakthrough mindset, that believer taps into the potential of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus spoke and says, you see all of these miracles that I do? Greater works than these will you do. He was saying to them, there's potential in the kingdom. Only if you can believe in me, only if you can believe my commandments and follow them, greater works than these shall you do. Jesus could only do so much because he was one individual. But when Jesus rose from the dead, there were so many other Jesus that started coming up. And right now I'm looking at multitude of Jesus here. It means that tomorrow as we go out, we infiltrate our workplaces with Jesus. We infuse our atmosphere with Jesus. And that is why he said, greater works than these will you do. I mean, you look at how many people have been raised from the dead from the time Jesus rose from the dead. More than the numbers that were raised by Jesus. The number of people that have been healed since Jesus came back from the dead. More than those that Jesus healed. He said, greater works than these shall you do. Glory be to God. I know a lot of people interpret that scripture thinking we'll do more than what Jesus has done. He was simply talking about the magnitude, the amount of miracles. When you read that scripture, if Jesus in his 31 years on earth raised 50 people, he's saying you're going to raise 50 times 100. I mean millions of people. Why? Because all of us are carrying the spirit of Jesus wherever we go. Now, I want you to hear me good. I'm not advocating for positive thoughts, positive thinking. You know, there's a whole lot of things going out there, you know, positive affirmations and positive thinking. I don't know if you know, there's what they call the new thought pattern or the new thought process. Very much close to New Age, but it's a variant of the New Age. It's a new thought theory. That's not what I'm talking about. That issue is limited. I am talking about being fixated by the great and almighty God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And I'm saying, lift up your eyes from your circumstances and look to Jesus. Have a revelation of who he is, and then he will work through you. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death. And he says in verse 16 going downwards, who do men say I am? He says, some say you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you're this and this and this, or the prophet of old. And Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are Jesus, you're son of the living God. It is from that place of revelation that Jesus then says, upon that revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah.
The deeper the revelation you have of Jesus, the greater the works that you will experience in your life. Hallelujah. The question is, in our church today, do we have a revelation of Jesus? Because when we have a revelation of the resurrected King, the soon coming back Jehovah, we will be able to see him walking in our midst. We will see him doing miracles. Because he will not endorse anything else other than himself. When I have a wrong image of Jesus, he's not going to come and bless what I'm doing because it has nothing to do with him. But when he sees a people that are so into him, a people that want more of him, a people that are sold out for him, he will come down to show that he is for real. Hallelujah. Why should the world ask, where is their God? Come on now. That's one of my prayers to Jesus. Why should they ask? This guy talks about Jesus, but we don't see the works of Jesus in his life. Where is the God that he talks about? Far be it from me. I want to walk in such a way that the works of Jesus can be seen in my life. They must be seen in my children. When people speak to my kids, they must know that these kids come from a place where Jesus is known. Does somebody hear me this morning? Let's look at another example. Exodus 3 verse 7. God comes. And Jehovah said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt. Who has seen? Jehovah, right? I have seen. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am coming down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And verse 10, and now go, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Remember, the breakthrough mindset is a mindset that focuses on God's ability on behalf of man instead of man's ability on behalf of God. So, it was God who saw. It was God who heard. It was God who knew about their sorrows. And it was God who came down, but who stood before Pharaoh? Moses. Moses stood before Pharaoh. In other words, for Moses to be able to execute this mission, without God, it was mission impossible. MI3. You guys watch those movies? Okay. I do watch. Please pray for me. Okay. I watch action movies. I just enjoy them. You know why? I get lost in them. I just lose all my issues and I'm just like, yeah, let's watch. And I'm beginning to like sci-fi movies as well because it's not real, you know, but it makes you feel like heroes are real. So Moses stands before Pharaoh. For Moses to be able to execute this mission, he needed to always be connected with the headquarters. Let's talk about James Bond. Let's talk about James Bond. James Bond goes out and nobody knows where he is. All right? He needed to be reconnected with the headquarters for him to remain functional. There's a lesson there for us, saints. When God is initiating a work, God knows how the work will end. He calls you and I to partake in what he's about to do. He calls you and I to come and enjoy that moment of victory. When you watch these action movies, you know the main actor will not die. It's just the James Bond one that just went AWOL and he dies. But generally speaking, action movies, the main guy does not die. He can be hit by bombs, but this guy remains standing.
Now, this morning, I want you to know, in this movie, you're the main actor there on earth. But your power and your ability comes from heaven. When you are connected with heaven, you are the main man. You will not die, hallelujah, until the mission is accomplished. But the day you decide to go rogue, all the gadgets stop working. Come on now. The day you decide to go AWOL by yourself, they cut off the supplies. And this morning we need to have a mindset that connects us with the source. We need to have a mindset that says, without this source, I cannot. Hallelujah. Come on now, let's clap our hands to Jesus. And I'm hoping this is coming to life. That your mindset will determine your longevity. Your mindset will determine whether you go into Canaan. Moses along the way missed the mark. And he was told, we are changing James Bond. A new one is coming. Joshua came. Moses died up on the mountain. Hallelujah. Why did Moses die? Why did he die? In Numbers, the Bible tells us of what he did. He went rogue. God called him. After the children of Israel were complaining about water. We want water. We want water. Where is water? And Moses was done. He was driven up the wall by the children of Israel. God said to Moses, can you please go speak to the rock? Speak to the rock and the rock will hear. Why? Because the source has said so. The source said, if you only speak to the rock will obey. But Moses said, no. Speaking won't work. Took his rod and struck the rock twice. And God said, you've gone rogue. You've done well so far. But because of this, because you also scolded my people, he said to them, you rebels, should we get water for you out of this rock? As if it was about him. When you have the right mindset, you know your place. It's not about you. It doesn't matter how strong your vocal cords are, it's not about you. It's about the source. So Moses, if you are to make it, remain connected to the source. Moses, if you are to make it, to grow big, remain connected to the source. And that happens on the mind level. It is so important, saints, for us to understand that the way you think influences your behavior. We need to be reminded that, let me tell you about this donkey. You know the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem before his crucifixion? Jesus was about to get into Jerusalem, right? And he said, get me a donkey. Get me a colt that has never been used. The disciples went and looked for this colt and found it, and they brought it to Jesus. Jesus got onto the donkey. And as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as we're walking down the streets, people were ululating, Hosanna, Hosanna to the great one. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were putting palm leaves in front of the donkey. In our day, they rolled out the red carpet for the donkey. Jesus got to where he was going. He got off the donkey. The donkey looked around. The red carpet was gone. The ululation had stopped. What happened? Donkey, it was not about you. It's about the one who was on your back. Come on now. It was about the one who was at his back. And him brought value to the donkey. When he was gone, value gone. That's the story of believers. Your value remains as long as you are connected to the master. The day that you stop and you get a big head and you think the church has grown, it is buzzing, it's about me, you become a donkey without the master. Yeah.
You wonder why. They were hitting that donkey to leave the streets of Jerusalem. I'm just imagining this thing now. Because nothing else is said about the donkey after Jesus is gone with his staff, entourage. Now this donkey is confused. What's going on here? It was awesome this afternoon. You see, it's awesome as long as you are linked to the source. So, breakthrough mindset. It's not about you. I had some other points here, which I'll do next week. I want us to, I think we should stop here today.